That takes us back, doesn't it? Yeah. They were the Jackson 4, though. I keep looking out here. My OC kicked in. I'm like, there's four of them out there. There's four, not five, but yeah. All right, that shows you how my brain thinks. So. I'll be there, Jackson 5. You call my name, I'll be there. You know, it was their most successful release. It was really a defining moment for them. That powerful ballad actually showed that the Jackson 5 could, they had potential that was beyond, I'm going to call it bubblegum kind of music. You know, we're continuing our series, The Mix, and we've talked about as Christ followers, getting the mix right. Because if every Christ follower was completely committed to Jesus Christ and fully, if we got the mix right, you know, that we could change our world, basically. That not only when we get that mix right, can we impact our neighborhoods and our communities, the workplace, maybe school, but we could change our country and change the world. And we've talked about the importance of living out the golden rule, that treating others like we want to be treated, it's a good rule. We've talked about the power of love, what love does, what it doesn't do. We talked about the significance of being accepting and being welcoming as individuals. And this week, I'm going to add to the mix. You see what I'm doing? I just keep adding. You're like, well, that's enough, but we're going to keep going. We're going to talk about serving others, living the kind of life that reaches out and says to others, I'll be there. I'll be there. You can count on me. We were created by God. We're called by God to serve others. You know, and that means people that you understand and that you get, and people you don't get and don't understand. And before we look at our scripture, I think it's helpful to kind of give you an understanding of the culture of the day when the scripture was written. Because in Jesus' day, the Roman culture was rapidly expanding. Rome wanted total domination. And there was a very core principle that centered around that you had to clearly understand your identity, where you fell in things. And there were seven classes of people. It was hierarchical. You need to think pyramid, okay? So Caesar was at the very, very top. And he had all the authority. He had all the power. Caesar was literally worshipped as a god. In fact, people would call him God. And then you had senators that were right under him. That was the next position. There were 600 senators, politicians. They governed various provinces throughout Rome. And then there were equestrians. Equestrians had gained power because of their influence, because of their wealth. And so they got pushed up there. And then there was decurions. And these were, think local politicians. So these four classes of people, they represented less than 3% of the Roman population, but they had all the power, all the influence, and so they're way up here. Then you've got this massive gap for the four groups that, from the four groups at the top to the three at the bottom. And under the Decurions, you had the Roman citizens. And these were people that were given certain rights, they were afforded certain things that everyone else below them did not have. And so there were a lot of Roman citizens at that time. Underneath them, you had the freedmen, which were formerly had been slaves or servants. And then the lowest tier was servant. In Rome, there was this idea and concept that you could change your status by doing the right things, that if you did certain things as a servant, you could become a freedman. If you did other things, you could become a Roman citizen. And it was this idea that over time, if you made enough money, you could become a decurion. And you keep working, keep excelling, keep climbing. That was the concept. It was the Roman mindset. It's how society operated. It was their culture. People found their identity in their class, position in society, title, you might say. Their position was clarified by their bank account, the zip code they lived in, the chariots they drove, and the power that they wielded. The Roman culture, I think it's really easy for us to understand it, isn't it? Because it's very contemporary. It's very us. You know, Jesus breaks on the scene. He was not born in the best hospital. He didn't go to the best schools. He didn't wear the finest clothing. Jesus enters as one of the lowest members of society. In fact, Jesus made a point of calling himself a servant over and over and over throughout Scripture. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Jesus leaves the highest position in the world, in the universe, throne in heaven. He's born in a stable, placed in a manger. It's where cattle ate. It's the lowest place. He didn't come in power. He breaks through and comes on the scene in the lowest position possible. And I think it says something about God's heart. I think it says something about the gospel. It says something about how far God's willing to go to reach out and change lives. You know, after Jesus' resurrection, after his ascension, he commands his followers, he says, go and make disciples. Then at Pentecost, the church is born. And so we have people in the church, they're gathering, they're praying, they're singing, they're learning. But the culture, the hierarchy in culture was a barrier to things. If this was going to be a really new community, things had to change. The early church needed a new mindset, a new way of seeing things. And so Paul, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, begins to write what that looks like. And he writes to the church and he says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. It starts here, how you view other people, how you see the people around you, you know, how you understand anyone and everyone who crosses your path, that before you worship, before you sing, before you pray, you must have the same mindset that Christ Jesus had. He goes on, he says, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Jesus was sitting at the right hand of God, highest position. Jesus was not going to allow that position, he was not going to use it to his advantage. You know, that Greek word for advantage, it really carries the idea that I won't grab a benefit of it. I won't exploit anybody under it. Jesus was not going to do that. It wasn't in his nature. It says, rather, he made himself nothing. Let that one set in for a minute. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a what? Servant, there it is again. Being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. In Roman culture, the only thing worse than being a servant was being a criminal, specifically that died publicly on a cross. It's as low as it got. From the moment Jesus left his throne in heaven, He comes to earth. Friends, he's changing everything. He's changing the mindset. He's changing the world. And you've got to get this. Because in our culture, the path, it's ascent. It's climb. It's very Roman, you know. It's about climbing. And if you need to climb over somebody, you know, to get to the next rung, it's okay. It's okay to serve when it benefits me. You know, I'll scratch your back, what? You'll scratch mine? But that's really about the climb still. Jesus sits at the right hand of God. He looks down this beautiful, broken world. He had all the power, all the authority, but he humbles himself and he came as a servant. Jesus is teaching us a mindset that we have to have. It's not a path of ascent, but descent. It's a new kingdom dynamic. Jesus is flipping everything around here. It's a kingdom where you ask, I've got to lower myself. Got to serve others. This goes against our basic nature, doesn't it? Just even hearing the word servant, some of you are going, I don't know about that. What's your mindset as a follower of Jesus Christ? What's your mindset? I mean, is it to climb always? Is it to find your identity in your position or your status? Or do you have the mindset of Jesus Christ in every relationship that you have? I think maybe I've shared this before, but I remember going to my first birthday party as a kid, and I went to someone's house, and they're playing all these games I'd never played before. I remember playing Pin the Tail on the Donkey. And, you know, first time, you know, trying to hit the pinata. I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. And it was the first time I was introduced to the limbo. And I'd never played, but they told us, get in line. When the music started, we could start. And anybody knows me, I love competition. And so when they said, get in line, I about knocked everybody over. I managed to get in line first. And so when the music started, I raced toward the broom, and I jumped. It didn't go well. I hit the broom. I literally ended up on my face. The poor guy that was holding the stick, he went down, I went down. I mean, we're both out. I wanted to go high. But the game, it's about going low. I was never good at that game. I'm not very flexible. I was always too tall. You know, I would go out in the first few rounds at parties. Skating rink was a great one. You should have seen me with skates, you know. But I was terrible at it. But that's the question. Christ followers, how low can you go? It's a change of mindset. Jesus shows us the way. Jesus was at the very top of all creation, and yet he humbles himself, he comes to earth, he took on the human form, and he becomes a servant. And if you're gonna serve others, friends, you need a different posture in life, because that posture is all about what's in here in your heart. You know, there's a story in John 13, people are flooding into Jerusalem. They're flooding in. It's Passover celebration. It was a Jewish holiday that they were celebrating deliverance from slavery in Egypt. Jesus and the disciples are celebrating. They're gathered around a table. And I think we get the wrong idea. It's not like the tables you and I gather around. The table had no chairs. It was really, really short. You got to think like coffee table and then shorter. Everybody has pillows. They're leaning on their elbow. They're eating with their other hand. And I imagine, I'm just guessing that they're sharing stories. They're laughing. That's what you do at parties, right? John tells us what Jesus is actually thinking. He says, Jesus knew that his Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. So you picture this, they're eating, they're celebrating. Everybody's having a great time. And then Jesus just gets up from the table. He takes a servant's position and he starts washing the feet of the disciples. It tells us something about Jesus' heart. And it's given us a new paradigm for living. I remember when I was in college up at Lincoln Christian College, our dorm mom, Ma Poole, she was always having students in because a lot of them couldn't afford to go home. And so we, you know, were there all the time. And she would have students in for dinner. And there would be like 10 or 12 of us gathered around a table for four, you know. And I noticed something about her always, because she would start serving, and she would serve each person one at a time. And she would get done with the last person. Well, then she'd look, and the first person had eaten all their food already. And so she would start again. And she sometimes would go around several times. And finally, she would sit down and eat with us. And it always struck me, because I thought, this lady's gracious. The mentality was not, I'm first, I'm last. I'll serve. And she did. It left a mark on me. What is your mentality? Me first? Gotta get mine. I gotta do this for me. Me, 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 me. Does your mentality allow you to go last? Does it? You know, in the Passover story, Jesus was making a point. He gets up from the table, takes off the outer clothing. He grabs the basin. You know, he fills it full of water. He gets a towel. See, he wants them to understand something. And then he begins to wash their feet one after another. And that was not a common practice, by the way. And when it was practiced, it was normally a servant that would come in and wash the feet. See, he was modeling a mentality of humility. I mean, we know from the Gospels that earlier the disciples had gotten an argument with one another. They were, you know what they were arguing about? Who's going to be the greatest of us? Jesus was the greatest, and he puts himself last in that moment. Think about that. You know, the King of Kings, the all-powerful one, the all-knowing, is washing the feet of these guys, guys that Jesus knew one of them's actually going to betray him. You know, he's washing the feet of another guy that would doubt him. He's modeling a mentality of the heart. His followers, he says, we're going to serve. You know, when was the last time you served someone that had betrayed you? When was the last time you served somebody that doubted you? I don't believe you got what it takes. You're not good enough. I don't believe you can do that. You're going to fail. Jesus was washing the feet of a guy that he knew would deny even knowing him. Jesus knew that. He knew Peter was going to deny him three times before the night was over. My point is, Jesus was dealing with a motley crew of guys, you know, betrayers, doubters, you know, deniers, the kind of people you and I rub shoulders with all the time, you know, in the workplace, at school, in our neighborhoods, maybe at church, negative people, mean-spirited people, angry people, skeptics, self-centered people. It's the same kind of people Jesus dealt with all the time. And Jesus got down on his knees and with all of his heart served. Which makes me ask, can you do that? They don't vote like you. Can you serve them? They don't believe like you. Can you serve them? They've done things that have hurt you. Can you serve them? They have failed you again and again and again. Can you serve them? See, the mindset, how low can I go? It reveals your heart. I'll go last. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And so I'll serve. Jesus is about to wash Peter's feet. It says, and it came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize what I'm doing, but later you'll understand. No, said Peter. You shall never wash my feet. Jesus said, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. Peter reacts, don't. This isn't happening. You are not washing my feet. And Jesus pushes right back. He goes, Peter, it's okay. I know what you're thinking. But I don't play by the Roman rules. The kingdom of God works different, Peter. In fact, what you're going to do here is learn to serve the way I do. And if you read the whole story, it's actually a comical story if you take time to read it and look at the details, because Peter does his norm. Well, he's all in, you know. Okay, I'm all in here, Lord. In fact, what I want you to do is not just wash my feet, give me a bath, you know. It's Peter. I told you it was funny. Jesus washes Peter's feet. So what's your mindset? Will you serve everyone that comes across your path? Do you have the mindset of Jesus Christ? I mean, what's the posture of your heart? You know, will you serve other people? Or do you only serve when it advances things for you? You know, so that you can climb the ladder. After Jesus washes all the disciples' feet, he puts the basin down, puts his robe back on, and he looks at all the disciples. They do not get it. And in fact, they're dumbfounded by the whole thing. Jesus says, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I'm sure at this point the disciples are like looking at each other. And then I imagine they looked at their feet. You ever see a kid when they just don't know what to do? and they start, they just don't know what to do. Jesus says, I set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed, what? If you do them. I mean, what's Jesus saying here? If you're going to serve me, Jesus says, if I'm going to be Lord for you, you have to have this kingdom mindset. It's got to invade, not just your mind. It's got to change your heart. And it should become action at some point because it becomes unselfish love. You know, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, you call me teacher, you call me Lord. If what you say is true, then you need to do what I do. If I respect everybody, then you should respect everybody. You know, if I welcome everyone, then you should welcome everyone. If I serve everyone, then you should serve everyone. It's what love does. It's what we're called to do. It's essential to our lives as Christ followers. It's essential to the church. Jesus says, it's what we've got to do. And then Jesus says, if you do it, you'll be blessed if you do all these things. We love that part, the blessing, right? The Hebrew word for blessing, it's a beautiful word, really. It's connected to the deepest level of satisfaction. It's connected to favor from God. And to a culture that is focused on ascending all the time, climbing, searching, trying to find something, anything, that'll give satisfaction. Anybody want that? Serving becomes this really foreign concept. It's hard to grasp, but Jesus says, your mindset's got to be like mine. If your posture's like mine, if you do what I do, if you move that direction, you'll be blessed. Paul would continue his thought from earlier. He says, therefore God exalted him, he's talking about Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Why? Because Jesus didn't come with power. He came with humility. He came with a servant's heart. You know, this will help you maybe keep this in your brain, you know, remember it a little easier. The mindset, go low. The posture, go last. The action, go love. Go love. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called by God to go low, to go last, and to go love. And I know inside you're going, So let's get practical here. Whether you're at work, school, the gym, your neighborhood, or whatever you're thinking about right now, wherever you are, anywhere, everywhere, there is no escape clause here. We are to go and do it. So who? Who are you going to serve? You know, as you walk through your day, just ask yourself, who? Who? Boss? Co-worker? Teacher? Student? Neighbor? Person sitting next to you? Child in the zone? Someone at the gym? The store? Who are you going to serve? If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're called to serve. And in fact, I know right now the Holy Spirit's nudging some of you. You just saw their face in your mind. Don't play it safe. Take a risk. Get outside yourself. Get outside your comfort zone, whatever that is. You know, maybe they failed you. Maybe they've doubted you. Maybe they are really different than you. But friends, if God is whispering, you pray, you ask God to give you the mindset to go low, to have that kind of posture that's willing to go last, and to actually put it into action by showing love. You know, where? Where are you going to serve? You know, will you go to their house? Will it be at work or at home? Maybe it means walking across the street. So now you know where, and with your hands wide open, you go. You go. How? How can you serve them? You know, maybe it's helping them with something, running an errand for them, you know, watching a single mom's kids for her. You know, maybe it means talking to someone, you know, and just listening. Maybe it means taking somebody to lunch or dinner, you know, maybe paying a bill for someone, giving someone a gift. Maybe it's just really just spending time with them, you know, encouraging them, cheering them on, letting them have a listening ear. How can you serve? And then when will you do it? When will you serve? I'm going to get real pointed. This week. When? Be really specific. I'm going to help you with this. Some of you need to set the deadline for Wednesday by noon. That's when you're going to do it. I know some of you are slackers. You're going, Saturday night, midnight, maybe I'll get around to it. Yeah. Who, where, how, when? And Jesus will say, well done. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Serving is what we do as followers of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's why we make such a big deal out of serving at church. Everybody should find a place to serve. You know, this is where we serve one another. We serve those that walk through our door who are searching, hurting, struggling. It's what love does. It goes low, it goes last, and it goes love. It's what we do. And the more you do it, I'll just tell you this, if it's, you go, man, this goes against everything in me. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. It'll become your mindset over time. As you go low, you should get your focus off yourself and serve. And you get to a place, and you go, God, you call my name, I'll be there. I'll do it. Whatever it is. And get this. When you do whatever God's asked you to do, God will lift you up. And it'll bless you. I guarantee you, there aren't many things I can guarantee. I guarantee when you get outside yourself and you serve other people, God blesses you in ways you don't even begin to understand, maybe. Let's pray. Our holy God, God, we praise you for who you are. And God, we thank you for Jesus, the one that completes us, that frees us from sin. the one that calls us by name. God, may we live the way you'd have us live. May we be the people you created us to be, have called us to be. And God, give us a servant's heart. May we touch the lives around us with a heart that says, I'm all in. What can I do? God, help us mark our communities, the workplace, our schools, our country, when everything else says climb, be about yourself. Lord, we're going against that. We're going to serve. God, I thank you for the promises of your word. And I pray your Holy Spirit would just guide us in that. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. God's people said, amen. Amen. Prayer teams, be down front. You need prayer this morning. Come down, let them pray for you. Let's continue in worship and stand and sing together.